On this episode of the Catholic Echo podcast from the Diocese of Youngstown, we're talking about Jewish-Christian dialogue with Bishop David Bonner and Bonnie Birdman. Find more about this episode's topic, including articles from the Catholic Echo, at catholicecho.org/podcast. And now, the host of the Catholic Echo podcast, Father Jim Korda.
Hello and welcome to the Catholic Echo podcast. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Our show is brought to you by the annual Diocesan Appeal, the Catholic Communication Campaign, and Cumulus Media Youngstown. Bishop Bonner, welcome to our show today.
Thank you so much, Father.
Today we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart because as someone who worked in ecumenical television, I work very closely with our sisters and brothers in the Jewish community. We're going to talk about our Jewish-Christian dialogue and relationship, not only as a diocese, but also as people of faith. And so it's important for us to lift that up, to celebrate that. What would be some of your experiences when you came here to the Diocese of Youngstown with those in the Jewish community?
So there was the commemoration of the shooting that took place at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. So there was a gathering here in Youngstown some months ago, and I was asked to be part of that, to enter the synagogue, and it was a very moving experience. When we're able to gather in that interfaith sense, I think that's such a model to our people that we demonstrate, that we're all in this together, and while we may have different faith expressions, we still are brothers and sisters to one another. We're children of God.
And I think that is the gift of ecumenical and interfaith dialogue, is to understand not what separates us and divides us, but what unites us. Because as we look at the bigger picture, there are many things that really unite us. Our outreach in the social realm, our celebration of who we are as people of faith. So that's really important for us to celebrate that up in good times and in bad times as well. Let's talk about how important dialogue is. You know, dialogue means that I talk and you listen, and then you talk and I listen. Why is it important to have that dynamic? And what happens if we don't listen and we don't talk?
Well, it's so important that we are attentive to each other's story. That's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we come together. I was honored probably a year and a half into my time here in Youngstown to be part of a Jewish-Catholic symposium sponsored by Walsh University. And the rabbi and I both spoke about the challenges confronting our respective communities. And while the communities are different in many ways, I think the challenges that we are facing are very, very similar. There are challenges of the world. It's important that we have these conversations because we're not meant to live in isolation. There's an integration that we're called to embrace as brothers and sisters.
You know, it was Vatican II in 1965 that issued Nostra Aetate, which was the shortest document that came out of the Vatican Council, and yet it was so powerful that it reminded us of our need as Christians to dialogue and to talk with those of the Jewish faith, but also those of the non-Christian faith. Why is it important for people of faith, first of all, to begin those conversations, especially in a divided world that we live in?
I think we all have something to learn from each other, and I think we all can support one another and encourage one another. In one of my parishes that I served in as a parish priest, I got to know a dentist who was Jewish, and we became very close friends. We would go out to dinner together. We would golf together. We came from two different worlds, but we were one, and we still maintain a relationship to this day. So I think it's important for us to always be open to all God's people, because there's a lot that we can bring to them. There's a lot that they can bring to us in our faith story.
And of course, we would be terribly remiss if we did not say that Jesus was Jewish and Jesus came from that tradition, and what he shared through the Gospels about his faith and how fundamental and important it was for him and how rooted he was. Why is it important for us as people of faith to be rooted in our beliefs? You know, oftentimes we find people who are nominal Catholics or nominal Jewish people or nominal Christians. Why is it important for us to be active and involved and participatory in our faith?
Well, I think we just can look at the realm of agriculture. If a tree loses its roots or its roots get cut up or undercut, it's not going to be able to stand too long. If we want to be vibrant, if we want to be alive, we need to be mindful of our roots. And our roots as Catholics take us back to those Judeo roots back in the Old Testament.
The other thing that I'd like us to talk about is that sense of building bridges. You know, I think that was what Jesus did in his life, is that he built bridges connecting people. And if we think about it, that's what the Eucharist is. The Eucharist is really a bridge, not only connecting us to God, but us to one another. And how important the image of a bridge is, and how we need to not only build that bridge, but to walk across it to meet others, and hopefully they walk towards us as well. How can we keep that image of a bridge really vital and vibrant in our own everyday lives?
Well, you certainly don't have to convince me about the importance of bridges. I come from the city of bridges, Pittsburgh. I can't tell you how many times I crossed those bridges. If those bridges weren't there, it would be a long swim across the rivers to get to into the city. So bridges are indeed important. How can we be a bridge? I think we can be a bridge just, first of all, by being open. We can't live life in this myopic sense with blinders. We need to be open, especially to that which is different. I remember when I was sent away to begin my theological studies in Rome, the rector at the time said, Dave, when you go to Rome, it's going to be different. That isn't anything good or bad, it's just different. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we struggle with different, whether it's a different food, a different route, or different people. It's a challenge.
And I think a lot of it comes down to respect. Respecting other people as a child of God, respecting people's property, respecting people's right to live their life as best they can. And that whole sense of understanding that when we do that, we open the door for dialogue and cooperation, because that's basically what Christianity is all about. That's what Judaism is all about. That's what the faith is all about, is to understand our mutual respect, our mutual understanding, and our mutual dialogue, which keeps us alive in God. Just a few thoughts about the Jewish community before we go to our next segment.
I've been blessed to be part of the Jewish community in Pittsburgh. I belong to the Jewish Community Center. I would go and work out there every day, and I got to meet and greet all kinds of Jewish people. And here in Youngstown, as I said, I've had some experiences. And then there are people that we meet in our journey every day. I think that there's a richness, there's a blessing that's there, and I hope they can say the same about us as well.
Well, I'm sure that that's the truth, and we certainly want to thank the members of our Jewish community who serve so well in the Jewish Community Center in Youngstown, but also the many different programs and opportunities and our own religious dialogue with Jewish and Christians. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in Northeast Ohio? That is more than 150,000 people. And the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event, or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions, as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at catholicecho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
Joining me is Bonnie Birdman, who is the Executive Director of Community Relations and Government Affairs at the Youngstown Area Jewish Federation. So nice to have you on the show today.
It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, the last time you were with us was, I believe, last fall, and we talked about many things that were going on at the Jewish community, and you were coming up on a celebration of the fifth anniversary of the synagogue shootings in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And I'd like us to talk about how that experience was and how that remembrance was.
You know, it was a very somber celebration, to be sure, really a commemoration, because it's hard to celebrate something of that nature. It was, you know, the worst act of terrorism against Jews on U.S. soil ever. And it happened, obviously, right in our backyard. Right. So we had so many close connections. And, of course, the one-year commemoration happened shortly after the Hamas attack on Israel on October 7th, which was another event in our history, for sure, that really changed us forever. So it kind of had a double meaning back then.
You know, when we talk about events that change our lives, and we're talking significant events, we try as human beings to celebrate good events that happen. But when we experience tragic events, that takes a different dimension for us. So we look at it with different eyes. How do you view those different remembrances that are tragic for your community?
You know, it's an interesting question. So, you know, it's imperative for us to always remember. And we learned those lessons, you know, following the Holocaust.
Right.
We hear the phrase, never again, never forget. We have survivors who have been in our community, and unfortunately, there are none left in this community who are living and willing and able to speak. There are one or two left who are still alive, but they don't publicly tell their stories.
Sure.
And those are personal, and we're always very respectful. So it's imperative for us to remember those events in the hopes that, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, and yet, unfortunately, there are times that it does. And we saw that on October 27th. Now, you know, it's 5.5 years from that event, and we saw it again last year on October 7th. And those are times for us to come together, not just to remember those we've lost, to think about the tragedies that have befallen, you know, Jewish people and others in general, but it helps bring us together as a community, to recognize that we are a community with some people out there who don't particularly like to see us as a community. And I know that's putting it in a very generic way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of why we absolutely must remember and why we must come together. And the other piece of that is that it's an opportunity for us to be reminded that we're not always alone. We do feel alone, mm-hmm. but we're not always alone. And the commemoration last year in October was really evident of that, when we had faith leaders from around the valley, including Bishop Bonner, come and participate with us. And we were so incredibly appreciative of his presence there and his incredible message that he shared with us.
What does it mean when groups that are religious and faith-based come together? What does that do for the community itself? Because unless we, as people of faith, come together and support and respect one another, then we kind of turned into more turmoil. Why is it important for us to be together and to work towards that?
The Mahoning Valley is, I think, a very special place. I'm not from here, but I've lived here now over 30 years. I joke that it's an infectious place. It kind of gets into your soul. And we all care about this community tremendously. And working together with other people who care is so crucial to keep moving this community forward. And, you know, I represent a faith-based community where my organization is a secular organization, the Federation.
Sure.
And, of course, we work very closely with our synagogues. Mm-hmm. But it's a different kind of structure, of course, than the diocese, which, you know, is a faith-based leadership organization. But we all share in the same goals. We share in wanting to make this a better place for us to live today and make it even better for our children and grandchildren tomorrow. And, you know, for those of us who represent faith communities, we might approach those issues from that place of faith. And, you know, faith is faith. We observe differently, but at the end of the day, we all believe ultimately in the same things. And that's what brings us together, and that's why it's important.
We basically all turn to the same God who nurtures, calls, and unites us all as human beings.
Absolutely. And I think that's the most important thing. And truthfully, if others come to that place from not a faith-based perspective, that's okay too, because we're all neighbors here. You know, there's nobody that's going to miraculously come here and cure all our problems. That's up to us as a community.
Sure.
And we're stronger when we do it together.
I totally agree with that. But that determines how we approach one another too, because we need to do that with a listening ear, with a respectful mind and heart, with a spirit of openness. Mm-hmm. And yet we know, because of society being so complex and polarized and diverse, that sometimes that's difficult. But when we talk about different faiths, sometimes what creeps in is an anti. You know, we as Catholics have experienced over many decades anti-Catholicism, the Jewish community, anti-Semitism. So mm-hmm. those things tend to creep in to our humanity. What can we do as human beings, but also as people of faith who care about one another, do about that?
You know, I think that's a fascinating question. And as you were asking it, it reminded me of a talk I gave, oh gosh, many, many years ago, about the concept of the other. And I based that talk on my experiences growing up. I grew up in the New York metropolitan area, a very Jewish household. We weren't overly religious, but it was very easy to be very Jewish culturally and otherwise in New York for reasons we all know. There were so many Jewish people, and the Jewish community there was large and strong, and we can go to restaurants. And you know, my mother was a New York City school teacher, and she used to be off for the Jewish holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. She never understood why my kids didn't get off school when we were here. But that kind of reminded me about the concept of the other. I grew up in a household where everybody else was the other. We were the primary, for lack of a better term, and everybody else was somebody else. And as I grew up, you come to realize and understand, particularly in the interfaith work that I've done over the last 28 plus years, is that everybody thinks of themselves as the primary, oh, sure. and therefore everyone else is the other. Mm. So if we recognize that we're all an other to each other, therefore, it takes us one step closer to removing that otherhood and coming together in some small way, while being respectful of each other's views, coming together when we agree, understanding, you know, if there are disagreements, but with the notion that we're all looking toward the same goal. And I think once I realized that, came to that, what I think is just a strange conclusion as an adult and as someone who has, you know, made a career out of Jewish communal relations, it made me look at my interfaith work on behalf of my community in a very different way. It enabled me to see through others' eyes and understand how they see me, and maybe understand how others might think I see them. And I think those are the realizations and the way we need to approach things as we work together as faith communities on behalf of the whole region.
I love that perspective. We're going to talk more about that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The new Catholic Echo podcast will inform and entertain the faithful of the diocese by discussing various topics that are relevant in the church today. Bishop David J. Bonner begins the podcast with your host, Father Jim Korda, on the topic of the day, and then you'll want to hear from those with expertise on that topic. You can listen to the Catholic Echo podcast on WHOT-FM 101, WYFM FM 102.9, WQXK-FM 105.1 on Sundays at 6:30 a.m., or catch it online by going to catholicecho.org/podcast. The Catholic Echo podcast is produced by the Communications Department of the Diocese of Youngstown.
The Catholic Echo is the media arm of the Catholic Diocese of Youngstown, and it seeks to inform and entertain Catholics in our six-county diocese by forging stronger connections to our parish communities and highlighting the many blessings of Catholic life in our region. If you have a story idea for the Catholic Echo magazine, podcast, or website, send an email to catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. We'd love to hear your ideas.
Welcome back to our show. I'm talking with Bonnie Birdman, who is the Executive Director of Community Relations and Government Affairs at the Youngstown Area Jewish Federation. We've been talking great news about the interfaith workings of many faith groups and how important it is to respect one another. When you were talking in our last segment about looking at the other, someone is the other, how often do we actually step back and take a look at ourselves through others' eyes. That's almost unheard of. But wouldn't we have our eyes opened if we actually did that for ourselves and look at ourselves, not how I see myself, but as how others see me?
To answer your first question, how often do we do that? Not nearly enough. And I think that's in part the crux of some of the issues that we're facing. I mean, I think if we do take those opportunities to take a step back and recognize that I see you as someone who's different from me, but you see me as someone who's different from you. And guess what? That's okay.
Right.
Because, you know, we're not a monolithic community. We are not a monolithic state. We are certainly not a monolithic country. Right. And we're not a monolithic planet. And this is all we got. We have our community, our state, our country, our world. And beyond that, you know, we just don't know what's beyond that. And we're only here for a short time. So it's really important for all of us to kind of take that step back and understand why the only way we can move forward and thrive is if we do it together. And the only way we're going to do it together and get along together is if we appreciate each other's differences in a way that's respectful and productive.
Amen. I truly believe that. And I think the thing that kind of nurtures us and gives us that strength are peculiar celebrations, whether we're Catholic or Jewish or Methodist or other Protestant denominations or Orthodox. Those ways that we celebrate faith give us life and nurture us. What are some of the things that are coming up in the Jewish community? We know next week you begin Passover.
That's correct.
What about how you celebrate that and what gives that life to you?
Well, you know, Passover is a very important holiday on the Jewish calendar. Throughout the year, there are observant days. Every Shabbat, every Sabbath is an observant day, meaning technically no work is permitted, et cetera. And then there are some Jewish holidays throughout the year that are not observant days. They're communally based. Passover is kind of a combination. There are 8 days of Passover. The first 2 days and the last 2 days are observant days. And the days in between are days when work is permitted, but we're still observing the holidays based on how we eat. It's also one of those holidays that, you know, similar to perhaps Christmas or Easter, that even the most secular of Jews who really don't, you know, live the faith, you know, traditionally throughout the year, will commemorate the holiday in some way. And it's usually with family gatherings. They're always based on the meal, the Seder. And, you know, we joke that we can't do anything without food, except on Yom Kippur, of course, when we fast. But, you know, that's similar when you think about some of the more important Christian holidays. Right. Part of the tradition is to come together as families around a meal. And what better time to do that? So that's certainly coming up. You know, at the end of Passover, we have a number of other communal and international commemorations and celebrations. You know, the week after Passover, we're going to commemorate Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Memorial Day. We have been actively seeking entries in our annual student writing and art and multimedia contest. And, you know, we've gotten so many incredible entries, and we're going to be giving out those awards in early May at an event at the Mahoning County Courthouse. So we're really excited to honor our incredible young people from around the valley. We will be honoring during an event program or a holiday in Israel called Yom HaZikaron. That falls right after Yom HaShoah, and that's akin to our Memorial Day, where we remember all those soldiers who have fallen. And sadly, we've seen a lot of them in this past year since October 7th. And then after that is Yom HaAtzmut, which is Israel Independence Day. And on the secular calendar, May 14th, 1948, was the date of the creation of the State of Israel. And very proudly, 9 minutes later, President Truman, on behalf of the United States, was the first country to recognize the State of Israel.
Very good. What I'd like to go back to is one of the commemorations that you were talking about, and that is our fallen soldiers and veterans. You know, we share that as human beings. We have all had people in our own families that fought in our wars for our freedom and independence. Why is it important for us to remember them? And more importantly, when we look at the various wars that are going all around the world, why do we need to lift up those who try to keep our freedom alive.
First of all, you said it exactly right. You know, these are people who put themselves on the line and stand up for our freedoms. I got a taste of that a little bit last year. I am not a veteran, but my father was. And he passed a year ago at the age of 99, and he was a World War II veteran. And one of the things he was so proud of was his service in the military. And interestingly enough, there was a weird quirk. While he was serving, he was transferred from unit to unit, and he never got his promotion. You know, he went in as a private. He was drafted and went as a private. And there are certain, you know, if you serve with distinction without any issues, you're automatically promoted over a certain amount of time. And for reasons that we never quite figured out, he never received his promotions. And the paperwork that would prove what had happened literally was destroyed in a fire sometime in the 70s where some of these documents were housed. So there was no real digital record of them. It was only in the last years of his life that we found amongst his papers the proof that we needed. And my brother and I, on his behalf, worked really diligently with the military. And about 6 months before he passed, he was awarded his stripes. And I bring that up because for him, that was one of the proudest moments. He couldn't stand very much anymore. He was, you know, 98 at the time. Or actually, he was already 99 at that time. And it was such an incredibly moving moment for him. So as I think about that, and I think about anyone who has served, any veteran who has put themselves on the line for our country, especially in times where, like now, where we don't have an actual draft. You know, we can talk about politics of the days when there was a draft in place and those who agreed with it or those who didn't. But if you think about those who serve today in very dangerous places around the world, they're not here, they're protecting the home front, but they're doing it elsewhere. And I think that there's no greater calling than someone who knows they're putting their very lives on the line and their family members who give up their time with their loved ones to be supportive of their loved ones to go and defend our freedoms. So it's incumbent upon the rest of us to respect, to remember in the very sad circumstances if any of our members of the military fall, to be supportive of the families both during and after their loved ones return. And hopefully, you know, they do return. And if they do not, we just have no choice. It's what we need to do as human beings and as citizens of this country.
Well, that's a beautiful testament. And my father served in the Korean War. I have a brother who was military career in the Navy. So we all have loved ones that serve graciously and generously our country and beyond. We lift them up, we remember them, and we thank you, Bonnie, for being with us today, especially celebrating our unity as people of faith in our Jewish-Christian dialogue that we continue. Please know of our prayers for you, for the Jewish community. We, as the Diocese of Youngstown, lift that up, and you're always in our thoughts and prayers.
And we know that, and we thank you, and it really was a pleasure to be here today.
For more information, you can go to CatholicEcho.org.
The Catholic Echo podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Youngstown, in cooperation with Cumulus Media Youngstown. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Have a blessed day, and may God be with you.